The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, it's your hometown girl, Shadate Hargett Hill, with the North Carolina Reading Service. And this is Connect to Success. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from NFPH.com websites and career one stops. Let's get started with what's happening now. And of course, the holidays are upon us. We have Christmas coming up and the new year. So let's do a little happy holidays and happy mentoring to you. With the holiday season in full swing and perhaps a wee bit of free time, have you considered devoting a few hours of your holiday reprieve to guiding and shaping younger or less experienced blind or print impaired individuals who are also trying to make things happen? The National Research and Training Center on Blindness and Low Vision shares their Employment Mentoring Manual, a resource for consumers and service providers who are interested in looking for a mentor and or starting a mentoring program. Mentorship multiples, mentoring benefits everyone and inspires future mentors. Amy Lynn Smith shares specific programs to help you connect with mentees who are blind or visually impaired. You have 13 tips for working with mentors. Joe Strachey defies the mentor relationship and encourages individuals to take advantage of virtual platforms to establish relationships. You also can learn to pay it forward as a visually impaired mentor. As Steve Kandaris says, he reflects on the value of mentors in life and encourages others to be, quote, a shining example for someone else to understand quality of life and how that can be good, and despite vision troubles, you can succeed. Of course, you know Barbara Cochran's recommendations for finding a mentor. You know she is the Shark Tank star and real estate tycoon, and she advises mentorships. She says it can be a two-way street. Consider providing mentorship in an area of expertise and asking for mentorship in an area of mentees and areas of enterprise. For instance, you may share business expertise, and your mentee may share social media expertise with you. You also want to think, can you mentor? Can you actually do that? You want to share tips for leading the mentorship with grace, humility, and confidence. Because even if the responsibility of the mentorship technically falls on the mentor can direct conversations and support the mentee. You also want to establish an effective, healthy mentorship. And these are things that will help you as well as the person that you are mentoring. And we're going to talk about a story now who is talk to a person about mentorship, actually read their story about mentoring. Mentorship multiples. Mentoring benefits everyone and inspires future mentors. This is by Amy Lynn Smith. After losing his vision as a child, Daniel Martinez says he did well in school, but he didn't have any role models for independence as a person who is blind. It wasn't until he became part of the National Federation of the Blind of Texas mentoring program that he truly understood just how important that is. When he was getting ready to graduate college, Daniel mentored a 15-year-old student who is now in college himself and becoming a mentor in his own right. Quote, we have that connection where we learn the value of learning from others, Daniel says. He also says, I also learned the value of nurturing others. Daniel, who has a master's degree in special education and is studying for his certification to be a teacher of the blind and visually impaired, mentors with two programs. One is the Career, which is changing attitudes regarding employment, education, and rehabilitation, mentoring program through the National Federation of the Blind of Texas. He likes to prepare students for career success. The career program connects blind independent adults with students in the organization's transition program who are ages 14 to 22. There are 6 to 12 mentoring teams, which are all rooted in advising students towards success in adulthood. The way I inform students is by communicating with them, Daniel says. Every mentee is going in their own direction, so I find out what their needs are and have conversations about things like looking for a part-time or summer job, signing up for college, setting career goals, and building a resume. We connect in whatever way we can, phone, email, and in person when possible. Among Daniel's primary goals are ensuring Braille or large print literacy and teaching mentees to travel independently. For example, one of his mentees is low vision, and Daniel is helping him recognize that he needs to use a white cane for his own safety. He's also teaching him about adaptive technology and even fishing. I demonstrate how to hook a bait with a safety measure, as well as experience fishing and having conversations while we do it. He explains, challenges will come up and we'll focus on them together. In the end, though, it's up to my mentees to face their own challenges as independently as possible. The program's mentees even had the chance to be mentors themselves earlier in the year. As part of the organization's Texas Association of Blind Students, they provided information on financial independence to their other students, gaining leadership skills in the process. According to Daniel, they completed the entire session themselves with guidance from mentors. They want to change lives through mentorship. Mentus, that's M-E-T-A-S, Mentoring, Engaging, and Teaching All Students, Mentus, is the other mentorship program Daniel is involved in. After they approached the National Federation of the Blind of Texas, financed by the University of Texas, Mentus serves students in both Texas and Mexico. The mentors are Spanish-speaking adults with experience teaching independent living skills, and the program hosts periodic weekend workshops called Changing Lives. We work not only with students but also with their families, but at the same time, Daniel says, while students are working with their mentors, relatives are in another room learning about how to best assist their family member in continuing to develop independent skills when they go home. The program also includes peer mentoring. Students are placed in small groups where they talk about their unique challenges and cheer each other on. We encourage them to continue gathering students to participate in these after the workshop. Daniel explains, this guidance could be particularly valuable in Mexico, where he says students don't have wide access to rehabilitation services. Although these workshops were first held in person, the pandemic offered an opportunity to extend mentorship to a broader range of students. Webinars, seminars, and conversations have continued, providing a mentorship experience for students. What's more, the Mentus program attracted people from all over the world, particularly Spanish-speaking countries. They want to share the rewards of mentoring, and they also want to make sure that you have people there that are available to help. It's so rewarding, not financially because it's a volunteer for most people, although it has developed my professional experience as an educator, says Daniel. He loves to do what he does, and mentoring is paying it forward. Our next article is from Career Connect, Paying It Forward as a Visually Impaired Mentor. Have you heard this before? And this article is by Steve Cardenas. Have you heard this before? You can't change the world, but you can change one person at a time. As I reflect on my challenges and accomplishments as a person who is blind, two visually impaired people come to mind. They helped me understand what is possible, and their advice changed my outlook about living with vision loss and starting a career. He talks about my first mentor. The first one, I call him Darren, was someone I had never encountered previously. My father learned about him through a newspaper article and thought I should read it too. It featured a story about Darren. It highlighted the fact that he was a blind business owner. He ran a karate studio and was his primary black belt instructor. His studio was only 2 blocks from my home. My dad suggested I call him up and ask him for a meeting. Request a little time to ask him some questions about living with vision impairment. Of course, as you might imagine, I was reluctant, but I called him in and made an appointment in spite of my apprehensions. Sat down with him, and we had a long talk about living with vision loss, career, and family. Although our visit was brief, it was inspiring. Darren made a lasting impression on me. Not only was he a visually impaired business owner, but he had a wife, a baby, a sleeping dog guide in the corner of his office. Call it one day mentoring, but it was effective. I left his office feeling like there was a silver lining in my dark cloud. In a serendipitous twist, Darren and I reconnected about 10 years later. Our wives were teachers at the same school. My second mentor, the other person who made a difference in my career, is my dear friend whom I call Chris. He had lost quite a bit of his vision when I met him in 2003. He was an outstanding salesman and real go-getter despite the vision loss. When we met, he was assisting his wife with sales of low vision equipment throughout Texas. We struck up a friendship. I found myself relentlessly asking him questions as our relationship strengthened. I asked him about living with vision loss, how he worked with it, how he got his guide dog, and so on. He gave me business and sales advice, and he connected me to important contacts too. Chris has been a good friend for me almost 15 years now. We talk at least once a week. I still seek his advice, and he gladly gives it. I appreciate him because he's been like a big brother to me. Making a difference as a mentor. Visual loss has been a blessing and a curse. A curse for obvious reasons, but a blessing due to the lessons learned and the relationships formed like the ones I mentioned. Coping with emotional roller coasters of this, of course. More importantly, is talking about rehabilitation services and that life and career can go on despite blindness or vision impairment, and that they can both be good and fulfilling. Now that brings me to this situation. Recently, my wife and I were talking about some students at her school. She told me a fellow teacher approached her about one in particular. This student had been diagnosed with a form of retinal degeneration. Basically, the condition is claiming his vision and zapping his academic drive. By now, most of my wife's coworkers know I'm blind. I've given presentations to all grade levels at her school. It was no surprise when the student's teacher asked my wife if I would be willing to volunteer as a mentor. It is quite an honor to be asked to do that. Of course, I gladly accepted. I received word by volunteer registration was approved the other day. Now it's time for me to be Darren or Chris to someone else. Here's my request to those of you who have transitioned from school to work successfully. Be a shining example for someone else to understand quality of life can be good despite vision loss. Become a mentor or a volunteer. There are so many blind and visually impaired people who need to meet role models and to hear success stories, especially young people and their parents. It's hard to change the world, but we can start by changing one person at a time. And speaking of mentorships, let's find out 13 tips for working with a mentor. And this is by Joe Schreckje from Career Connect. Career One Stop. Take advantage of this virtual time in our existence due to COVID-19 and find your next mentor. My life has been impacted by mentorship. I have surrounded myself with people who are successful in different facets of their lives, and many of them have been people who are blind or visually impaired. Some have been individuals who are not. I have learned from all of these people. I believe that I have a responsibility to mentor others, and I take it very seriously. Well, I still make lots of jokes throughout. So, as seriously as I can, I am a mentor and a mentee. I still have mentors who I can go to regarding life, work, and technology. Over the years, I have been connected with mentors regarding Paralympic sports, employment, independence, technology, marriage, and more. What is a mentor? There is a difference between a mentor and a role model. A role model is someone you look up to, but with whom you don't have a relationship in which you can ask them advice or have a personal connection. I have plenty of role models, like Martin Luther King Jr. I am not 100% of the person Dr. King was for our world. Reading about him at an early age shaped my beliefs. I've also had other role models through years. I am sure you all have as well. Mentors, on the other hand, are people you interact with and you are able to ask advice and who might challenge your perception to help you grow. The relationship needs to be defined. During our current virtual living, you can take advantage of this time to help identify and connect with a possible mentor. Not every mentor-mentee relationship is a given. For example, I have a number of people whom I mentor, and I am selective. Mentorship takes time, effort, comfort, and a level of trust. When I reach out to people to mentor me, I start by building a relationship. I have already done my research on them. I don't want to ask them questions that I can easily find online. As a mentee, I should be prepared to do the work. As I don't go to them to connect me to others, I go to them to learn from them and their experiences. Mentorship is not meant to be a networking tool. Tips for finding a mentor. Tip 1, identify mentors from whom you would like to learn. Tip 2, research each of these individuals. Tip 3, write an email introducing yourself and what interests you about them. Tip 4, ask intelligent questions that can't be found with a quick search online. Tip 8, don't overwhelm the mentor with too much information or too many questions at once. Tip 9, don't ask the same questions over and over again. Tip 10, mentorship can be done in many formats, but it typically involves communication through conversations and electronic mediums. Conversations offer an opportunity to follow up questions and building a different level of connection. Tip 11, do the work that you are asked to do better yourself. Tip 12, demonstrate your appreciation for their efforts and time. Tip 13, stay in contact. Take advantage of these virtual time and connect with your next possible mentor. One size does not fit all. You could be reaching out to them at a very hectic point in their life, or they have a number of mentees already. Don't be offended by a denial. Thank you to all of my mentors and all of the mentors out there in the world. And now we're moving on to another person who is a mentor and has started their own business. This is an interview by Shannon Carollo with Michael Finn, owner of Finn Fitness and Wellness. This is from the APH Career Connect. The first question was, can you tell us a little about yourself? And before I begin, I want to do this editor's note. Michael Finn is the owner of Finn Fitness and Wellness, a holistic exercise and lifestyle coaching business. To ask about his career and what led him, they were asking him about his career and what led him into the industry. Mr. Finn inspires us with his quest for health, and he offers advice to career seekers who are also blind or visually impaired. And so the interview goes from APH Career Connect to Michael Finn's responses. APH says, can you tell us a little about yourself? Michael Finn says, I have spent my 52 years living all over the state of California. I am an athlete. I've wanted to be an athlete from the time I was a little kid. It has also allowed me to travel all around the world, competing in a variety of sports and activities. That led me to my career choice of being a coach, coaching others into being healthy, fit, pain-free, competing in their sport, or just living a life they love. My success in sports like track and field, beep baseball, kayaking, snowboarding, and many others built my confidence and showed me with hard work and practice I could have the career I wanted and live the life of my dreams. I'm also a parent and husband. I've been married for 18 years now, and I have a 11-and-a-half-year-old in the sixth grade. We work hard on learning and growing and doing lots of fun things together. APH asks, can you tell us about your current job and what it entails? Michael Finn says, the title I give myself is a holistic exercise and lifestyle coach. I coach people how to live the lifestyle that lends them down the path to the life they love to live. This includes nutrition, activities, exercise, education, changing of careers, every aspect of someone's life we will get into as needed, depending on what they truly want to accomplish with their life. There is a decent amount of life coaching in addition to the nutrition and fitness side. I will also mix in some massage work and other holistic practices to help my clients move forward to reach their goals. Some people come to me wanting to lose weight, and in our conversation, we find out the reason why they have a weight problem is because they're very unhappy. They don't like their job or where they live, so they medicate with food. We come up with a plan. What job would you like to have? We do research on what needs to happen. We also talk about nutrition. We talk about what would make you happy in a day, living your dream. It's easy to stick to the patterns of eating appropriately to have the energy to do so when things you want to do are perfectly aligned. In contrast, if you're doing things you have to do instead of what you want to do, that's when you go eat as much of a large pizza as you possibly can and chase it all down with ice cream, all to self-medicate because you're unhappy with how your life is rolling out. So we meet regularly once a month or a few times a week online, over the phone, or in person, and put together the plans and strategize as to how they're going to change their lifestyle into what they love. I may be teaching them how to stretch and exercise while we talk about making better food choices or how to deal with the stress their boss is putting on them. I may be doing some life coaching while massaging a frozen shoulder or a tight hip. The key is coaching each person, teaching each individual the things they need to know to reach their goals, and to encourage them and motivate them to make the changes in their life to reach those goals. So many times, people try to bite off more than they can chew and end up struggling and then quitting. They think they just can't do it or don't have the ability to do it, but that's not true. They are lacking the knowledge and experience needed to achieve their goals. This is why we all need a coach, someone with more knowledge and experience than we have. The coach can guide the individual through the learning process, providing resources, information, and guidelines to learn and implement strategies. One of my favorite quotes is, "We only know what we know." A coach provides the knowledge and tools needed to be successful. A coach would know how to balance all the lifestyle factors in someone's life. A coach can communicate and explain how fast to expect results and provide accountability and encouragement so that everyone can find a balanced lifestyle they can sustain. That is the key. Results come with following the lifestyle for days, weeks, months, and then years, so that your body and life take the shape of your dreams. It's very tricky to explain exactly what I do because I do everything completely differently with each person. It is very unique. to what their experiences are in life, their current knowledge base, and most importantly, what they want to accomplish. APH asks the question, what led you to work in this industry? Michael Finn says, going all the way back to when I was in high school, I was overweight and completely miserable. I changed from being a really overweight 220-pound 14-year-old to a 6-foot-tall 170-pound track athlete. After that, lots of people came to me asking how to get stronger, get in shape, or how to build muscles. People continue asking me for help and were progressing. By then, I was 30 and I decided to become a personal trainer. Over the years, I have expanded my knowledge base and acquired many different certifications to help others reach their goals and dreams. From all of my education, coaching experience, I have learned that it is a lifestyle. The lifestyle we live creates who we are. I wanted to help people figure out what their goals and dreams really are and coach them through the process to create it. I live the lifestyle that I love, and I coach other people how to live the lifestyle they love and can sustain throughout their life. It isn't quite as quick and easy. It takes some work, and there's always a bump in the road here and there. But in the end, they appreciate what they've accomplished. They have a healthy mind, body, and a spirit to accomplish whatever they set their mind to. APH Connect says, how did you acquire the job skills? Michael Finn says, when I was 14 and out of shape, I started reading books and finding all the information I possibly could. Anyone I ran across who seemed like they knew more than me and were in a better position than I was, I tried to pick their brain and learn from them. When I got into college, unfortunately, the guidance counselor told me I couldn't go into the health and fitness industry because I was blind. They pushed me into business classes. So while in college, I did take business classes, but in all reality, I was bored and dreaming of being a coach. After that, I competed in sports internationally and in the Paralympics. I learned from the coaches at the U.S. Olympic Training Center. And you know what? I needed to work and make money, so I would jump into a job I could find. I was happy to work for others because I could learn from them, but I realized I wanted to own my own company. I tried my hand in the coffee business and did just fine, but after 8 years, I couldn't deal with being unhappy anymore. I got the needed certifications and then worked as a corporate gym as a personal trainer. I learned how they did their sales and marketing. I told myself I would dive into it really hard for 2 years to learn their puzzle pieces and shape them into what I wanted for my own business down the road. And we'll finish more of this story next month. We'll continue to hear how Mike Finn blossomed and what else he did and the achievements that may inspire you. But unfortunately, we've run out of time for today's episode of Connect to Success. Be sure to tune in next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm your hometown girl, should I say Hargett Hill, for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Connect to Success is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any questions or comments, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service. See you next time on the radio.